Hi, welcome to the live streamed message of Grace Church here in Truro. My name is Andrew Sampson, one of the leaders in the church. A warm welcome to members of the Grace Church family and also to others who are watching this message from elsewhere. One of God's greatest gifts to us is the church. It's a matter of profound significance. We can hardly exaggerate the significance of the point that Jesus did not leave us a book. Yes, it's true that we have the Bible, which is a collection of writings that testify to who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. But Jesus himself did not write a book. He didn't hand us a manual in which he said, here it all is, laid out for you in black and white. You need to follow this to the letter. Jesus didn't leave us a book. What Jesus did was create a community. He called men and women to be with him, to share life with him and with one another. And then he poured out his spirit so that the presence of Jesus would remain with this community till the end of the age. And that's the essential mark of Christianity, that God calls us to do life together in community, a community that is centered on Jesus. And the biblical word for that community is church. And the biblical word for those who have God-given responsibility to lead the church is the word elders. Last week I started talking about what elders are and what elders do from the first letter of Peter. And in this message, I want to return to that passage and go through that passage in a little bit more detail and then say a few words about how we want to make some changes to our eldership team here at Grace Church. So let's have a look at the passage. It's 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. Peter writes, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." Last week, I was looking at the idea of shepherd leaders. Elders are those who are shepherd leaders. They are called to serve. And I said there is no pyramid in the church. There is no top-down leadership. Elders are not leaders who are distant and aloof, who issue their dictates from on high. But at this point, I want to address a possible misunderstanding. In saying that there is no top-down leadership in the church, I'm not saying there is to be no leadership in the church. In saying that elders don't exercise top-down authority, I'm not saying that elders don't carry authority. So we have this tension that on the one hand, elders have authority, but on the other hand, they're not to be authoritarian. And I want to start by looking at both sides of that tension. So let's pray and ask God to help us as we do just that. Heavenly Father, just thank you for the opportunity to reflect on this passage, reflect on your will, your desire for your church. And we pray today that as we listen to this message, as we consider what your word is saying about elders, that you would give us wisdom and you would give us insight, that we would come increasingly to see your church as you see it, and view the leaders of your church as you view the leaders of your church. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's start with the first side of this tension, elder authority. Elders have authority, and that authority is real authority. Peter, in this passage, uses three terms to refer to those who are leaders in the local church. He uses the term elders, which is the term that the New Testament part of the Bible most frequently uses to refer to local church leaders. That's why in Grace Church, we use the term elders, and we have three elders here in Grace Church, myself, Matt Leach, and Ben Saul. Then Peter uses the word shepherds, and that was my subject last time. Elders are to be those who are shepherd leaders. From the word shepherds, we get the word pastors. So we learn that elders are pastors. These words are used interchangeably. Then Peter adds a third word. He says that elders, or pastors, are overseers, those who watch over, those who have responsibility for oversight. And that word is traditionally translated bishop, which I think is quite unhelpful because it immediately conjures up the idea that Peter is talking about a senior level of leadership, someone who's higher up the church hierarchy. And that idea couldn't be furthest from Peter's mind, because he's using these terms interchangeably. Elders are shepherds, are overseers. Elders are those with the responsibility of oversight. This is the task that God has assigned to them. So we can't have a situation in which there is a local church with no oversight, in which there is no leadership. It's not biblical. Also, it's not practical, because as soon as you gather people together for a common purpose, one of two things will happen. Either one or more people will start to assume leadership responsibility, or others in the group will intuitively look to others for guidance, to lead them. So leaders will emerge as a matter of course. And in the church, God doesn't give this process of raising, he doesn't leave this process of raising leaders to chance or circumstance. God himself raises leaders. God himself appoints leaders in his church, and he gives them responsibility for oversight. He gives them the authority to oversee his people. Elder authority is real authority. And that's why we have Peter writing here to the elders. He's writing to people who are under extreme pressure, and he's imploring them, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. Don't abdicate responsibility. Don't try and duck out of it. No, step up and recognize this responsibility that is your responsibility, given you by God. As an elder of Grace Church, I recognize that God has given me responsibility and God has given me authority to lead. Now, left to my own devices, I might very easily misuse that authority. I might be tempted to wield power in a way that causes harm. And that's why the second side of the tension is so important to focus on. Elders are those with authority, but they're not to be authoritarian. And I think in this passage, we find three factors that moderate elder authority, that condition elder authority. So elder authority isn't a hard and heavy thing. It's not something that crushes the church, but something that is life-giving for the church. And the first thing we see in the passage that moderates elder authority is the character of those who are elders. Let me ask you a question. What is it that you look for in an elder? What is it do you think that qualifies someone for eldership? Is it impressive communication skills, outstanding people management skills, an ability to cast a vision, good administrative ability, an outstanding preacher, someone who is an effective implementer, able to implement a process and or systems or programs that get the job done? And in the church, of course, all of these things are useful. But in the New Testament, part of the Bible, we have three lists of what are sometimes called elder qualifications. The first list is found here in 1 Peter 5. There's another list in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and another in Titus chapter 1. And the interesting thing about all those lists is that they major not on the skills that leaders have, but on the character, on the heart that these leaders have. Let's consider what Peter writes here in 1 Peter chapter 5. In verse 2, he says this about elders. Elders are those who are not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. They're shepherd leaders, back to my subject from last time. They're not in it for themselves. They're in it for their people. Second thing he says in verse 3 is they're people who are not lording it over those entrusted to them, but examples to the flock. Elder authority does not come from someone's skill set. It doesn't come from their personal charisma. Their authority as an elder is a moral authority. It comes from the fact that when others in the church look to them, they see a God-like example that is worth following. But when the church looks to these men who are their elders, they see men who look like Jesus. So they're able to say about those men, yes, they are worth following. So the first thing that moderates or conditions elder authority in the local church is the character of those who are called to eldership. The second thing that moderates or conditions elder authority in the local church is the accountability of those who are elders. In verse 4, Peter talks about Jesus coming again. This is one of the fundamental teachings of the Bible, that Jesus will come again, and when he does so, he'll judge the whole of humanity, including those of us who are elders. And on that day, we'll stand before him and give an account to him for the way that we have led the church. Now, Peter is writing this letter, as I said, to those who are under great pressure. He's writing this letter to Christians who are experiencing persecution, and he wants to encourage the elders of these churches. So he's saying to them, think of what will happen on that day when you stand before the Lord Jesus. If you faithfully discharge your responsibilities as elders in the here and now, on that day you can expect to receive a rich reward from Jesus. That is to be your motivation, not what you might get out of being an elder in the here and now, but your reward from the Lord Jesus himself, what he will give you on that day when he comes again. Elders are those who are accountable to Jesus. And what Peter talks about here in verse 4 of 1 Peter chapter 5 is spelled out even more clearly by the writer to the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 17. And there he addresses not elders, but members of the congregation. He writes these words, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you, it's that idea of oversight again, as men who must give an account. It's a sobering thought, and here I address members of Grace Church, that the day will come when I will stand before the Lord Jesus and I will give an account for the way that I have led you. Elders are men who are accountable. That's the second thing that moderates or conditions elder authority in the church. And the third thing is whose church it is. In verse 2, what does Peter write? Be shepherds of the flock that is under your care. No, he doesn't write that. Does he write, be shepherds of your flock that is under your care? He doesn't write that either. Peter writes, be shepherds of God's flock. The church is God's flock. The church is God's. It doesn't belong to the elders. It belongs to him. And there's an echo here of what Paul says to the elders in the church in Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, when he says, be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. In reality, my people for whom I am responsible before the Lord Jesus are not my people at all. Grace Church is God's flock. The church belongs to him. It's his, not mine. So we've got both sides of this tension, that elder authority is real. There is such a thing as elder authority, but that authority is not exercised in a way that we might call authoritarian, because it's moderated and conditioned by three things: the character of those who are called to eldership, the accountability of those who are called to eldership, and the fact that the church does not belong to the elders, it belongs to God. It is God's flock. And all those things work together to prevent elder authority in the local church from becoming an oppressive thing, from becoming a hard and heavy thing that causes harm. Far be it for me as an elder to use the church for my own selfish ends, to seek to use the church for my own promotion or my own elevation or to make a name for myself. It's not my church to do with as I will. It belongs to God. It is God's flock that he purchased with his own blood, which was, of course, the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. And the church is God's own special possession, or his treasured possession. That's the language that Peter uses earlier in this letter in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. My son, Luke, my younger son, has a treasured possession. Years ago, we were visiting a market, and on one of the market stalls, he saw a beautiful handcrafted wooden chest, a little wooden chest, sort of a little treasure chest, if you like. And the artisanship was magnificent. The craftsmanship was stunning. And he looked at this thing and he couldn't have it there and then, but he longed for it. And he desired that thing above all else. And as we approached Christmas, all he wanted was this little treasure chest, this beautiful thing. And my wife, Laura, searched high and low until she found it. And we gave it to him. And he put his special things in it. And it's a sacred thing to him. In fact, only yesterday I saw him lifting the lid and just reveling in the beautiful things that he keeps inside. And the rest of us in the household recognize that that is a sacred thing. And I tell you this, we don't even touch it. We wouldn't dare do anything that would damage it, or would harm it or blemish it in any way, because we recognize how precious this thing is to him. Now, if that is true of my young son's little treasure chest, how much more is it true of the Church of God, which he bought with his own blood, the blood of Jesus shed on the cross? The church is his treasured possession. It is a sacred thing. It is a precious thing. Far be it for any of us to come into the church and do anything that might cause it harm. Far be it for any of us to come into the church and seek to stir up malicious gossip, or stir up division, or seek to undermine the leaders. No, this is God's treasured possession. This is the most precious thing in all the universe, the thing on which God has set his heart, the people that he calls his own, and wonder of wonders, we get to be a part of it. Many of you, I know, are part of Grace Church or part of another local church elsewhere. If you're not part of a local church, but you want to be part of God's treasured possession, the community of people whose lives are centered on Jesus, who are sharing life with one another, and sharing life with Jesus, enjoying the presence of his Spirit, then get in touch with us. We would love to put you in contact with us if you're in the Truro area, for you to be a part of this local church community, or if you're living elsewhere, we'll do what we can to put you in touch with a church that is in your local area. But what I want to do is pray and thank God for his church. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that when Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood, he did so that you might purchase a people for yourself, that you might have a treasured possession, that you might have this people who are your instruments for making your will and your ways known to all the people on the earth. And we just thank you for the wonder of being able to be a part of that. Thank you for the presence of your Spirit in the church, which is the presence of Jesus. We thank you that we get to do life together, centered on Jesus. And we pray for each one of us. Help us to take steps to strengthen our involvement in your church. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so that was the first part of what I wanted to bring in this message. And now there's going to be a bit of a gear shift. I suppose you might say that I've preached the sermon that I wanted to preach on 1 Peter chapter 5. And come now to make an announcement that also comes with an invitation. Because as I've said, we're at the point where we want to make a change to the church eldership team here at Grace Church in Truro. Since 2013, we've had three elders: myself, Matt, and Ben. And we're at the point now where the three of us want to add to the eldership team. Now, does Grace Church need more than three elders? Well, no and yes. No, in that a church of our size can function okay with three elders. But we know that God has called us to expect increase. He's called us to anticipate growth. He's put us here to be a sending and resourcing church, a church that brings light, not just to our own patch, but which is instrumental in seeing lights turned back on across Cornwall and beyond. And if we're to increase our influence, then we're going to need more elders. And we would love to add two men to our eldership team here at Grace Church, and they are John Peters and Dave Pike. I want to say three things in connection to that, or there are three things that should be said in connection with that. There's the what, the why, and the how. The what is what we believe these men are called to, what eldership means. And really, that was what the first part of this message was all about today, and also the message that I preached last time. And if you haven't yet listened to my message on shepherds and kings from 1 Peter chapter 5, do go back and listen to that. So I've covered the what, but then there's the why. Why these men? And in response to that, I want to say three things. And the first thing is the most important thing. It has to do with character. Ben, Matt, and I believe that these men have proven themselves to be worthy of your imitation. They are, to use the words from 1 Peter chapter 5, good examples to the flock. Now, they're not perfect. If you're looking for a church in which the leaders are perfect, you're going to be looking for a long time. We don't expect perfection. But what we see in Dave and John is men who are wholehearted in their devotion to Jesus. Men who are not in it for themselves. They're eager and willing to serve. Men who love God and love people. And men who are taking responsibility to keep a clean conscience before God. They are men of character. Second thing to say in response to the why is that we perceive God's hand on these men for this task. For the past 2 years, over 2 years, John and Dave have been sitting with the elders on a regular basis. Matt and I especially have been going through an eldership training resource with them. And as we've looked at that together and we've prayed together and we've talked together, and crucially, we've talked to their wives, Judy and Claire, increasingly we've come to this conviction that God is adding these men to the eldership team of Grace Church. He is raising them up as shepherd leaders. Now, we're at that point where we want to invite you to let us know, do you see it too? Do you recognise this? And the third thing to say in relation to the why is what they bring to the eldership team. It's been evident that the Grace Church eldership team, while we believe it is a strong team, is not an especially diverse team. We are men of similar age, men from a similar background, men with kids of a similar age. And the beauty of God's church is that in the church we find unity in diversity. What's true of the church as a whole is also true of leadership teams. That leadership teams are stronger when there's a variety of perspectives and gifts all flowing together. Speaking personally, I need other elders around me that don't see things as I see them. I need other elders around me who challenge me. I need elders around me who can help correct my blind spots, because we all have them. And in John, we have a man who is quite a bit younger than the rest of us, a man with different cultural influences in his life, a man who, along with his wife Claire, has responsibility for leading our youth work here at Grace Church. And when he comes in the room, he brings all of that with him. And all of that colours his perspective, his contribution to the team. We need that. And in Dave, we have a man who is quite a bit older. And some of you know that he and his wife Judy took the best part of a year out a couple of years ago to do a training course in supernatural ministry. And as elders, we strongly encouraged them to do that, because we felt that that would be beneficial, not just for them as individuals, but for the church as a whole. And when Dave comes in the room and he sits with us, he brings all of that with him. And it informs his perspectives and his contributions. And we need all that. So we need what they bring. They're men of character. They're men that we believe God is raising for this task. And they bring important contributions to the team. That's the why. What about the how? Well, the how has to do with process. And it's important to say that we're not going to be laying hands on anyone for eldership until such time as the church is able to gather all together once more. And because we don't know precisely when that's going to be, we're not putting a precise time frame on this. But we're bringing this to you now because we believe that when God raises up men for eldership, there are four parties involved in recognizing what it is that God is doing. The first is the individuals themselves. If Dave and John were themselves saying, well, I'm not too sure about this, I don't think that this is the path that God has for me, then it would be a deal breaker from the start. It's important to know that Dave, along with his wife Judy, and John, along with his wife Claire, have a conviction that yes, this is what God is saying. The second party involved in recognizing what God is doing is, of course, the existing elders. Matt, Ben and myself are very much on the same page with this. The third party that's involved in recognizing what God is doing is our other partners, those that we work most closely with, who are part of the Advance family of churches. We've started having those conversations with others, and those conversations will continue. And the fourth party that is involved in this task of recognizing what it is that God is doing is the congregation. And that's why we're asking you to weigh this. That's why we're asking you to talk to Dave and John about it. That's why we're asking you to get in touch with us and let us know your observations, your experiences, any questions you may have, and any concerns you may have. You can get in touch with Ben, Matt, and myself at elders@gracetruro.org, and we're eager to hear from you. It's important to say this is not a done deal. But what we're looking for is these four parties together to recognize what it is that God is doing, what it is that he's saying. What we're seeking is the consensus of the Spirit so that we can recognize together what God's will is for his church, which is Grace Church. So I want to invite you to join me in praying once more. Heavenly Father, we just bring to you the Grace Church eldership team. And we pray that you would be forming this team and growing this team as you will. Help us as a church to discern what it is that you're saying so that we can be ready for all that you have for us in the next chapter of the story that you are writing for Grace Church. And we acknowledge and we recognize that Grace Church is your own. We are God's flock. And so we look to you, Heavenly Father, to lead us in the days ahead. We pray for Dave and we pray for John. And Lord, we pray that you would bless them, you would enrich their lives, enrich their marriages. But we look to you, Father, for your will to be done in their lives. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There it is. Thank you so much. I look forward to hearing from you in the days ahead. May God bless you. And see you again next time.